I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. It's our weekly international briefing. We'll have a report on elections in Grenada. The trend to throwing out incumbents continues. And while Americans may not be ready to tune in, the rest of the world is already getting ready for World Cup. We'll get a report on how the preliminaries are going so far. But first, the G8 Summit. That's the annual gathering of the leaders of the world's leading international nations, industrial nations, rather. It wrapped up in Japan yesterday. And while climate change grabbed the headlines, the leaders also talked about the challenges facing African nations. Joining us to talk about the G8 conference is NPR's Anthony Kuhn. He covered it. Also with us is Constance Ikoku. She's the Washington Bureau Chief for Nigeria's This Day newspaper. Welcome to you both. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you.
Constance, I'm going to start with you. Seven African leaders traveled to meet the Group of Eight, which is supposed to be the world's leading industrial economies. Among them were Nigeria and South Africa. Why did they go?
Well, it's been a practice for some years for the G8 leaders to invite some African countries, because if you're going to be discussing about issues that concern the continent, I think that it makes sense to invite leaders from that nation, from that continent, to give them a sense of belonging and put them on the table. If you're going to talk about aid, if you're going to talk about trade, if you're going to talk about health issues, you know, it makes sense to have them and have discussions with them.
Anthony, the G8 focused on Africa 3 years ago when they met in Scotland. Isn't that right?
That's right. At the Glen Eagles G8 in 2005, then Prime Minister Tony Blair made it a point of focusing on Africa and climate change, and it's been very important since then. But as Constance points out, African leaders have been attending for several years. And it's, you know, they've got a number of platforms going that this fits in with, the UN's Millennium Development Goals and other platforms. And the G8 itself has tried to put in some institutions to deal with the Africa issues, such as coming up with an Africa Action Plan and things like that. So they're trying to establish a framework for working with aid to Africa.
Did they come out with any specific commitments in this summit?
They were pretty vague on commitments. Essentially, they just restated what was said last year in Germany, in Heiligendamm, Germany, which again, very much restated what was said in Glen Eagles in 2005. There was a lot of talk of, goals, economic goals, such as improving business environment, all these sort of things, but very little mention of where the money was going to come from for these things. And campaigners were very concerned that there would be backslipping. There is already indication that they're going to have great difficulty in meeting the goals set out in Glen Eagles for overseas development aid and aid to Africa.
A private group, Data, a group founded by the singer and music singer Bono and the music producer Bob Geldof, says that the G8 has only just delivered about $3 billion of the $25 billion pledged in 2005. Anthony, was that talked about at the conference?
That was a focus of the groups, of a lot of the campaigners and a lot of the African leaders attending. At Glen Eagles in 2005, they increased to, they promised to double aid to Africa, double ODA, overseas development aid, to $50 billion by 2010. $25 billion were supposed to go to Africa. Now people are saying they're going to come up $30 billion short of that $50 billion goal, and that shortfall could cost 5 million people their lives. Even more telling, way back in the 1970s, they promised that they would increase the amount of money that goes to overseas development aid to 0.7%, 0.7% of gross national income. And they have not reached that. And to paraphrase Nelson Mandela, 35 years is a long time to wait for less than 1%.
Constance, how? First of all, I get the impression that sometimes what the G8 want to talk about and what they want to do doesn't always match up with what the African countries want them to do. Was that the case here?
Yeah, you're very correct. We've written about this story, And what our country, Nigeria, for instance, has been saying is that we don't want African leaders to go to the G8 summit and it becomes a photo op and another talk shop. You know, we want them to make serious compromises on issues, for instance, the Doha round of negotiations, which hangs in the balance, has been stalled for several years, you know.
You mean trade talks?
Yeah, trade talks. The future to Africa, you know, the critical steps that need to be taken is in the area of trade and investment. Aid is okay, but in the long run, aid is not sustaining, you know. So when you have issues of trade, it's very, very important, you know. And that's why, you know, in Nigeria, for instance, people are taking their government to task, you know. Put pressure on these countries to make the necessary compromises that they need to make. If they really profess that they want development in Africa, they should begin to make bold decisions. They should begin to make painful decisions that are critical to the future of the continent. You know, so that's what we want, and not just another talk show.
So basically, they want trade barriers lowered so they can develop their own economies. They really aren't as interested in direct aid.
Correct. You know. One of the issues in the Doha round of negotiations is improved access to market, you know, to African farmers, you know, strong rules that would prevent trade distorting behavior. We've talked several years about subsidies in developed countries, subsidies to their farmers, and the way that it hurts African farmers. These are issues that are very, very important, you know. But when they come to the table, developed countries don't want to make the necessary compromises that they need to make. At the end of the day, you gather in the G8, you make promises on aid, and I tell you, aid is not the salvation to Africa. They need to begin to talk about investment in critical infrastructure that will power the economy, and that's what we're interested in.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Tell Me More from NPR News. We're talking about the G8 summit with NPR's Anthony Kuhn and with Constance Okoku of This Day newspaper from Nigeria. Anthony, what about food? The high price of food has been a major challenge, particularly for some of the developing economies. Was this discussed?
People were a bit disappointed about the lack of emphasis on rising food prices at the G8 talks this year. There was a lot of talk on health and education. There was a lot of talk about financial things, but there was not a lot of talk on how people are going to cope with the rises in food prices. And as we know, for poor people, when food prices rise like that, it erases gains that have been made in poverty eradication, and it forces people to choose between eating and sending their kids to school or seeking medical attention. Mm-hmm. Also, another thing that was very disturbing was that there was very little talk about the issue of biofuels, the fact that people are putting grains that should go to food into their cars. And many people say that that the developed nations are covering up the fact that the U.S. Use of corn for ethanol has driven up the food prices, grain prices, by 75%. There was a leaked World Bank report that said that, and it wasn't published, some people say, to save the U.S. from embarrassment.
That was my question, and just briefly, because I want to move on to one more topic before we let you go. But why wasn't it discussed? It's such an obvious crisis, and these are all producing nations, and why wasn't it talked about? In fact, some of these countries are also experiencing some negative sort of domestic political effects from world food prices. Is it because they don't want to talk about something when they can't come to a conclusion that they can and then advertise? They don't want to raise it if they feel like they're not going to make progress?
Well, I feel, you know, what came out of this whole G8 thing, the documents that came out of it, were so watered down, and they, you know, these negotiations all inevitably go for the absolute lowest common denominator, the sort of language that will offend the fewest people and deliver the fewest concrete promises. So that's one thing, and you know, there was a lot of debate among these different parties that made it hard to get a consensus. But it just seems like this sort of thing isn't a priority when you can't even agree on getting foreign development aid up to 0.7%. You know it's not because of money. It's because of a lack of political will. That's the problem, I think.
Okay, finally, Constance, I wanted to ask you about the statement that the G8 delivered on the political crisis in Zimbabwe. Of course, you know, we've been covering this closely. The longtime President, Robert Mugabe, was sworn in recently for his sixth term after an election that was widely seen as as stolen and conducted with violence and intimidation directed at the opposition. How was this declaration received by the African countries in attendance? I sense that there was disagreement about the utility of that kind of declaration. They were also asking for additional sanctions against Mr. Mugabe's regime, particularly the top government leaders.
Yeah, I mean, there's been a lot of discussion within African countries or among African countries concerning Zimbabwe. And I think that the negotiations will continue. I think that South Africa will continue to play a critical role. Nigeria would play a critical role. And
Nigeria support additional sanctions, or are they also against it?
Well, the Nigerian government has not been categorical concerning sanctions, but it has tried to weigh in on the issue in Zimbabwe, and it has tried to speak to President Mugabe and ask him to come to the negotiating table with the opposition.
How was this declaration received, though, particularly by your readers? Do they welcome it as a sign that the West is holding him accountable for poor governance, or do they see it as kind of interference and racist meddling, which is what Mugabe's spokesman called it?
Opinions are highly divided, you know, and this is a very emotional issue. There are people that think that the African Union or African countries individually can play a very big role in ending the crisis in Zimbabwe. There are people that think that Western nations are meddling too much in the internal affairs of a sovereign country. So, you know, there are people on two divides. You know, everybody is entitled to their own opinion. But the most important issue is that we have to come to the negotiating table and see how we end the crisis in Zimbabwe.
Constance Ikoku is the Washington Bureau Chief for This Day newspaper from Nigeria. She joined us here in our Washington studios. We were also joined by NPR's Anthony Kuhn. He's been reporting on the G8 summit, and he joined us by phone from Sapporo, Japan. I thank you both so much.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Jill.